Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masachet Brachot Daf Mem Bet Amud Aleph, near the bottom of the Amud. We're going to look at Mishnayot Hey and Vav in this, the sixth parak, Kitzad Mevarchin, continuing with the topic of Birchot HaNehanim, the Brachot said before eating, drinking, and smelling. So if you said the bracha gafen on wine that was brought before the meal started, that includes the wine that's during the meal and no need for another bracha. The same thing is true about little snacks that are brought, like hors d'oeuvres that are eaten before the meal. That includes that bracha covers those that are eaten after the meal or during the meal. If you made the bracha hamotzi on bread, that includes then the snacks. Ala parperet lo patar tapat. But if you say the bracha on the hors d'oeuvres, let's say, that does not include the bread, you have to make hamotzi on the bread. Beit Shem Amrim aflo masek dera, and it's a little unclear what the aflo masek dera means here. Does it mean that masek dera, meaning a cooked item, also doesn't include bread? Or does it mean that the parperet does not include the bracha on masek dera? We'll see that in the Gemara. The next Mishnah, Yu Yoshvin, Kol Achad Merech L'Atzmo. Let's say they were seated, not reclined, but seated, then everybody makes their own bracha. Heisebu Echad Merech L'Chulam. But if they reclined, then one person makes the bracha for all of them, and presumably this is Hamotzi or Hayayin, or Borei Pergafen. Bam Yayin V'Toch HaMazon, Kol Achad Merech L'Atzmo. If they were, they had wine brought to them during the meal, everybody makes their own Borei Pergafen. If it's after the meal, like a dessert, one of them makes the bracha for all of them. We'll see why. And that same fellow is the one who says the bracha on the mugmar, which is like some incense that's brought at the end of the meal that was used to sort of clean up the smells. Even though it's brought at the after the meal. Okay. That this statement, that if you make the bracha on wine before the meal, it includes wine during the meal, is only on Shabbat and Yom Tov, because a person establishes a meal with wine, meaning we start with wine. It's just a regular dinner. You have to make a bracha on each cup. So Shimon Levi adds in two things, which is when you come out of the bathhouse or when you've done bloodletting. In both cases, the meal afterwards includes wine. But a regular dinner, a regular meal, you have to make a bracha on each cup, because the first cup is not assumed to be first of many, it's just one cup of wine. Rabbi Bar Mari equal of a Rava Bechol. He came to his house on a regular weekday. He saw that he made the bracha and wine before the meal, and then another one afterwards. Amale Yasher, good job. V'chein Rabbi Shimon Levi, he quoted Rabbi Shimon Levi, who said that. He came to Abaye's house on Yom Tov. He saw that Abaye was making a bracha in each cup of wine. Don't you accept Rabbi Shimon Levi's ruling? Abaye says, I changed my mind, meaning I had one cup and I didn't want to have any more. Later I changed my mind to have another one, so that's why I had to make another bracha. Ibayelahu. So the question was asked, we were discussing wine that comes before the meal relative to wine after the meal. What about wine that comes during the meal? Does that prepare gafen include the wine afterwards? The ruling in our Mishnah is wine before the meal to wine after the meal. Why? Because they're both to drink, meaning they're just drinking independently, not part of washing down your food. But here, the first one is lishrot, meaning you're drinking it to wash down your food, and this one afterwards is dessert wine. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe as long as you said Brei Pregafen at some point during the meal, then any of the other wine afterwards is included. Rav Amar Poter, Rav Kahana Amar Eno Poter. So Rav Kahana disagreed with his Rebbe and said, it doesn't work. Rav Nachman Amar Poter, Rav Shesht Amar Eno Poter. The next generation, same machloket. Rav Huna v'Rav Yehuda v'chol tamidei d'Rav Amri eino poter. So all of Rav's students and Rav Yehuda said it doesn't work. So they seem to be going against Rav. Eitav e'Rav v'lav Nachman b'alei ha'mayayin b'toch ha'mazon kol achad v'achad v'arach l'atzmo. L'achar mazon achad v'arach l'chulam. We see that at the end of the meal, achad v'arach l'chulam. which means we assume that this is one meal. So they all made the bracha beforehand, and then they have to make another bracha, and the point is that one person could say it for all of them. So that seems to support the idea that ain't no poter, that the meal, wine that's brought during the meal does not exempt wine after the meal. It's a fairly easy answer, which is the Mishnah is not talking about one particular meal. It's saying if wine came during the meal, then each person has to make the bracha. If no wine came during the meal, and the only wine came after the meal, you have to make the bracha, obviously, but it could be made by one person. And we'll see why again at the end of our sugyah. So in the Mishnah, I pointed out that aflo masek tera is unclear, and the Gemara will address it. By the way, shamei aresha pligi or dilma seifa pligi, meaning which are they disagreeing about when they said aflo masek tera, which clearly is against whatever was said earlier because they're adding on. Now let's see. The Kamar Tanakama Berachal Apat Patar Tapaperet V'Choshkin Masek Dera. The Tanakama said that if you make the bracha on bread, that includes parperet and certainly includes Masek Dera, which is the main point of the meal. It's the pot where all the main food is. V'Ata Beit Shammai L'Memra Lo Mibayi Parperet D'Lo Patro Lo Pot. The Beit Shammai might disagree with the whole thing. They say parperet certainly is not included in the pot because it's not part of the meal. Alafil Masek Dera Nami Lo Patro. The Beit Shammai disagree fundamentally with the idea that when you make the bracha in pot, it exempts any other part of the meal. Odil ma seifa pligi. Maybe Beit Shammai's machloket is more limited, and they disagree with the seifa. Diktani papeirach ala parperet lo patar tapat. That if you make the bracha on the parperet, it doesn't include bread. Patar lo patar masek dera patar. That it does not exempt bread, but it does exempt the masek dera. If you said the bracha and parperet, it does include, let's say, the other cooked items. And the Chama is just coming to say, no, parperet doesn't exempt anything, not even the masek dera. And the answer to this is teiku. We do not know whether the Chama's disagreement was broad or narrow. Okay. At the end of the Mishnah, Yushvin kol achad b'chad b'rach latzmo. If they were just seated, then each person makes his own bracha. But if they reclined, then one says for all of them. Hey sebu in loy sebu lo. So it's only if they reclined. Or minu. Asarashu yolchim aderach. 10 people are walking. Pishu kolam ochlimi kikar echad. And they stop to eat. And they're all eating from one loaf. Kol achad b'chad b'rach latzmo. Everyone makes their own bracha. Yashvu lechol. If they sat down. So they're walking. Now if they sat down to eat. Even though each one of them is eating from his own loaf, one makes the bracha, motzi, for everybody. So you see that as long as they sat down, one can say it for all of them. You don't need them to recline. Yeah, what it means is if they said, let's all sit down over there at that picnic bench and eat, meaning that they established a place for themselves to eat, it's like hesebu. When Rav died, Azu Tamida Batre, the students went afterwards to bury him. Kihadri, on the way back from the funeral, Amri Neza Venechu Lachman Ardanak. Let's go sit down by the river and eat bread. Bata the Charchi, after they broke bread, Yatvu coming by Elud, asked the question, Hesebu Dafka Tanan, does the Mishnah mean Hesebu, which means we need to be reclining, which we're not going to do here, and therefore we each have to make our own bracha. Or maybe the minute that we say we're going to sit down in a particular place, it's like reclining. They didn't know the answer, so they didn't know whether one should say the bracha for all of them or they should each say their own bracha. Rav Adabarava, student of Rav, stood up. He turned his part of his tunic that had the kriya that you tear when your Rebbe dies, he put it in back. He tore another kriya. Rav is dead and we don't even know how to say brachat hamazon properly, or brachat on the food. Adata usava, until an elder came, Ramalu matnitin a braita, he challenged the braita that we saw against our Mishnah, Vashani Lehu, and he gave the answer, that the minute you establish that you're going to eat in a particular place, that is like reclining. Okay, Hesebu, Achad Mevarech. We said that if you recline, then one makes the bracha. I'm Rav Loshan, I'll pat to buy a seba. That's only if it's bread that requires a seba. Well, Yayin lo buy a seba. Yayin, you could all be seated and one can make the bracha. Even wine requires reclining to make it a joined meal so that one person can make the bracha. Rav perhaps said the opposite way. He said, pot is the only one where haseba helps. If you recline, you're still having your own independent wine. You have to make your own bracha. That Rabbi Yochanan sees it more broadly, and that is that even for wine, haseba will help and create a merged meal. Meitav, watch this. Ketzad seder haseba. This is a description of the meals that they used to have. This is a reflection of the fancy meals of the times. The guests come in and sit on benches and fancy chairs. It's like an ante room, and they all come in. They brought wine. The servants brought water. And they would wash one hand. And then they'd bring wine. Everybody would make their own bread pregaf and have some wine. Then alu, they went up to the banquet hall. They sabu and reclined. Then they would bring water. Even though he already washed one, each person washed one hand beforehand in the anteroom to have the wine. Now he would go back and wash both hands. Then wine would come. Even though everybody made their own bray pregafen, at this point, one person makes bray pregafen on this second wine. Now, this is before the meal, of course, but this is just part of the description. So according to the first version, where Rav said, wine doesn't need haseba, then it's difficult, because why didn't one person make the bracha for all of them in the anteroom when they were seated? So Shani Orchim Natayu Lemiakar, that's different, because they all knew they're going to move from the room. So they're not settled, even though they're seated, they know that they're going to get up and go somewhere else, so it's not like a merged meal. According to the other version, where Rav said wine will not be helped with haseba, meaning doing haseba won't make wine a joined meal and everybody has to make their own bracha, the seifa is difficult because up there in the banquet hall, one person made the bracha for all of them. Because they're also going to have bread, and the haseba works for bread to make it a joined meal, therefore it also works for wine. Okay, baya lem yain betoch hamazon. Shalu ben zom, neymar amru ba lem yain betoch hamazon, kol achad v'achad v'arach latzmo, v'achad hamazon achad v'arach chulam. So they asked ben zoma, what's the reason for the ruling in our Mishnah, the distinction between wine brought during the meal, where each person has to make his own bracha, regardless of how they're seated or reclined, and if it's at the after the meal, one makes the bracha for all of them. It's very practical. Because during the meal, some people are eating, some people aren't eating. So if one person makes the bracha, half the people would be in the middle of eating, and they couldn't say amen properly, and so everybody makes their own bracha. After the meal, it's like a toast. Everybody's listening. Rumer al ha-mugmar. I say, that fellow also says the bracha on the mugmar, which is some sort of a bracha of about shemen, or a bracha about something with smells. So the implication is there's somebody who would be the preferred fellow to say the bracha on the mugmar, but nonetheless he says it because he's the one who said berpregafen. He was the first one to wash my machronim, so therefore he should be the guy to make the bracha on the mugmar. So the fellow who washes his hands first of my machronim, he's the one who should say brachat hamazon, and therefore on the mugmar also. So now we have a story. Rav v'Rabbi Chia havu yatvi kamei de Rabbi v'sudata. Rabbi had a meal. Rav Chia, who was his prized student, was sitting before him, and Rav, who was Rav Chia's twice over nephew, the younger student, was sitting there also. Amar the Rabbi l'Rav. So Rabbi turned to Rav and said, "Kum mashiyadach, get up and wash your hands." Chazer mirtat. Rav Chia saw that his nephew was trembling, didn't know what to do. I'm Rabbi Chia bar pachti ben gedolim. That's a nice phrase for him. Ein v'chad mazona kamalach. What he meant was, when he said wash your hands, means you're going to want to lead brachat hamazon, so go over your brachat hamazon now, because in a couple minutes you're going to be asked to do so. Okay, in the next podcast we're going to deal with the issue of the mugmar and the bracha on the mugmar, and it will lead us into a prolonged discussion about the bracha on different smells. And we'll pick it up at that point. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.